Good morning, everybody. Welcome to First Baptist Church of Glenville, Georgia. Today I want to do something a little different. I'd like you to turn to your left and tell the person next to you that you're glad that they're here today. Okay? Everybody turn to your left and say that you're glad that they're here today. And after you do that, then you can turn to your right and tell that person you're glad that they're here today. And always remember to smile. Okay? All right. Thank y'all. Don't that make you feel good? Get everybody awake? All right. So if you're visiting with us today, I would like you to invite you to fill out the welcome card in the pew in front of you. And that'll allow us to get a record of your visit, and it'll also allow us to know of ways that we can pray and the ministries that we offer here at the church. I'd also like to remind you of the opportunities of ministry we have to offer on Wednesday nights, starting with Team Kid, and Ashley Holland is leading that this year. We also have our student ministry that's held at Hubbard Park, and our pastor John Roberts is the leader of that. And then we have our women's Bible study, and Miss Leanne leads that. And then we also have prayer meeting in here with our pastor, Brandon Newell, and he leads a prayer meeting and a time of Bible study. And so those are all held on Wednesdays. And remember, on Sundays, we also have our Sunday school besides church, and then we have Sunday evening service. Today, we're going to take up a special offering for state missions. So at the conclusion of the short video presentation, our choir is going to sing, and then our worship leader is going to invite us down to lay our offerings in these baskets that are provided to you to my left and right. Now I'd like to pray for us, and I'd also like to remind us to be in prayer for our music minister search committee, so that God would send the one that he would have for us to have here. All right, so now let us pray. Father, we just thank you for another awesome day, Lord. The beautiful sunshine out there. It's just a beautiful picture that we get to wake up to in the morning, Lord. We just thank you for that. We thank you for you being the awesome Father and God that you truly are, and providing for all of our many needs and often our wants and desires, Lord. So we thank you for that. We thank you for our men that you have sent to us, Lord, to lead us, and we pray that you would bless each of their families. We'd also pray for our search committee that is searching for a music minister to lead in worship, Lord. So I would pray that you would convict that man of in his heart that is a need to be here, and allow our music minister search committee to see exactly who that is, Lord, that you would reveal that to them so they would know exactly who it is, and that he would come here, and that we'd have great times of worship and honor and glorifying your name, because you are so worthy. We pray also for our message today, Lord. We pray that you would give Brother Brandon the words that you would have him to speak, so that we may receive those words and live it out each and every day of our lives. And it's in Jesus' powerful and holy name I do pray it all. Amen.
God's brought us, people from across the world, a place where the church is underground and persecuted, a place where to confess Christ could mean the end of your life, where a new regime took over violently, and it's allowed us to have a mission right here to fellow brothers and sisters in absolute desperate need as refugees who literally left with the clothes on their back.
We went to South Africa in the summer of 2017.
God had really changed our hearts to live on mission in whatever way that he laid before us. Last year, I was in my 19th year of teaching and felt the Lord say that it was time to step away. We really didn't have a plan.
I've actually been teaching and coaching high school football for 28 years, and even the call to mission, we didn't know how that was going to fit together.
The school year ended, and then 2 weeks after that, our first refugees arrived.
There's also been some key people involved with this area of the world that have actually been there.
I had the opportunity to go over there on a disaster relief trip with our church. We've sit there in their homes and have their entire world turned upside down.
They don't know where some of their family members might be or if they'll ever get to go back to their home.
I could just put myself in their shoes. They were completely alone. They couldn't speak the language. They couldn't read the language. That really solidified us just wanting to be a part of taking care of them in whatever way possible. We were able to help set up their houses, yard work, assembling furniture, buying groceries to stock their kitchens. And they trust us when they come into this church that they're coming into a safe place. So we want to respect the fear that they have.
We're getting to know their children and they're getting to know ours. It gives them the opportunity to see that we are the church. And as believers, that this is an obligation of ours to take care of those who are in need.
We've celebrated baptism, but not like we've celebrated those baptisms. To know that we had to cut the cameras off, it meant risking their lives to go underneath the water and come back up. And it's revolutionary for a church to realize and see what truly, how worth it is to follow Jesus, no matter what.
God didn't put us here to focus on ourselves, but to focus on other people, you know, and do what we can to help them.
Just being willing to surrender and say, God, we'll be yours. Use us however you want us to.
God is pursuing people, and He is wanting to use His church if we're just willing to say yes.
Nothing compares to seeing someone come to faith in Christ, especially when their journey of faith seems so long. We have refugees and internationals all around us, and we have been given the mandate to reach them with the gospel. Go to the website that's on the screen right now and find out all the information that you need to pray, give, and act.
It's in our state, and to make a difference in the state. So as we sing this next song, Shine Jesus Shine, I would encourage you to bring your gifts and place them in the baskets on either side on the step coming up to the platform. So stand with me and let's sing. Shine, Jesus, shine.
Truth, now bring us shine.
mission and go to the folks around you and greet them in the name of the Lord. We're glad you're here today.
Sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. This morning, their families, God. As we get to this point in service, Lord, we just ask that the offering provided this morning, Lord, is used for you and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. We're so thankful to have you here at First Baptist Church of Glenville. Let me just take a moment and say, if you are visiting with us, we would love for you to take a moment to fill out a visitor card. That helps me remember that I talked with you this morning and what your name was. And so here's what I like to say. If I asked you what your name was this morning and you know who you are, go ahead and fill out that card. That helps me just solidify the conversation we had, really get to know you. Hope you have felt welcome as you've been here so far. And if you've been here for years, I hope you felt welcome too. It's just as important. Well, this morning, before we get started, go ahead and open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 12. And as you're opening to Isaiah chapter 12, I want to share a quick story with you. See, my mom, my whole life, has been an apartment manager. She oversaw apartments down in Tampa. She still does. And so growing up, I would spend a lot of time at the apartments. And I would hang out with all the kids at the apartments. And we were just this big old community, right? And there were like seven people named David. And so all the Davids had different names, right? So you had Dave Garcia. You had Island Dave, who had just moved from the Virgin Islands. There's all sorts of Daves. The focus of the story today is going to be Island Dave, and I want to tell you why I called him Island Dave, because he had just moved from the Virgin Islands, and it differentiated him from the other Daves. And so it's about, what year would it have been? 2004. I'm about 10 years old. Don't do the math. About 10 years old. And my family and I are at the park, and we're throwing the football back and forth. And because it's Florida, I'm barefoot. And we're throwing the football, and the football goes off into the shade. And so I run into the shade to go grab the football. And it turns out that someone had just dumped a pile of hot coal under the tree, which is just not smart. Why would you put hot? Anyway, no regrets, right? I'm going to get the football. I step right on this coal. End up getting second-degree burns on my foot. That's not the important part. I jump up. Now, let's put in some perspective 10-year-old me. I was incredibly overweight as a child. And really, when you think about it, watch this, right? So when I was 10 years old, I was 200 pounds. Yeah. But at that rate, I'm doing really well for myself now, because I should be like 4,000-something pounds, and I'm not. So I'm about 200 pounds. So here's what this means as a 200-pound 10-year-old. No one holds me, right? No one ever picks me up to take me to bed. My mom can't do it, bless her heart. She just can't do it. I never experienced that. My dad wasn't present. There's no one to carry me around. I had never experienced that in my life. I mean, sure, when I was younger. But like once I got to like 160, my mom said, "You're on your own." And as a 3-year-old, I'm just kidding. I was just walking around. And so I step on this charcoal, burn my foot, and I'm on the ground, and I'm crying. And, you know, my mom and grandma, they're tending to me, and they're like, "We're going to have to go to the hospital. I mean, it's blistering up real bad." And they're like, "Can you walk to the car?" And I say, "No." And here's why the answer is no, because I'm 10 years old and 200 pounds. You want me to walk one leg, carry 200 pounds? Nah, not happening. I can't do it. So here's what my mom does. She calls Island Dave. And Island Dave comes to the park, and you guys, that man's my hero. Like some knight in shining armor comes and just scoops me off the ground and carries me like I am as light as a feather. Nothing has made me feel more special since then. And just carries me to the car, sets me in the car, fastens my seatbelt. And I'm not going to pretend to try to do his accent, but he goes, "You got it, buddy." And so we go to the hospital. Anyway, I end up being just fine. But for just a moment, I knew exactly what it was like to be carried by someone in my distress. I hadn't experienced that then. I haven't experienced it since. Don't try. It's okay. I'm good now. I can carry myself. But in that moment, do you know how relieving it was to know that I wasn't going to have to try to, like, waddle my way to the car? That someone came and swept me off my feet and carried me where I needed to go? Here's the picture of what's happening in Israel in Isaiah chapter 12. We have heard and heard and heard time and time again, your destruction's coming. Your destruction's coming. You're going to be scattered. You're going to be tossed aside. You're going to be tossed to and fro all ends of the earth. You're going to lose connections with your family. You're going to lose connections with your ancestry. You're going to forget who you are. And in the midst of all of this, God, through his prophet Isaiah, sends this message of hope. Like, listen, even in your distress, there's going to come a day where you will thank the Lord your God for coming and rescuing you, for picking you up off of your feet and taking you exactly where you need to go. The message doesn't make a whole lot of sense just yet, but it will. In a moment, we're going to read Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6 in its entirety. And then we are going to go back in and dig just a little bit deeper. Let's read Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. This is out of the Christian Standard Bible. It will be on the screen as well, or you can open up the Bible in front of you. It will be a matching translation. Beginning in verse 1. On that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, Lord, although you were angry with me. Your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Indeed, God is my salvation. I will trust him and not be afraid. For the Lord himself, is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. You will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. And on that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make his works known among the peoples. Declare that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry out and sing, citizens of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is among you in his greatness. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your mercies that are new every single morning. Thank you for the ways that you take care of us. You provide for us. You meet all of our needs. Lord, you sweep us off our feet, even in the times that we don't want to be. Even in the times that we think, how could someone ever rescue me from what I'm going through? Lord, you are faithful to rescue us. Lord, just as you did then, we know you will do now. So God, I just pray that you will give us great clarity today as we study your word. Lord, would you speak to us, and whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, please, Lord, have your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's point number one today. I hope you're taking notes with us. Point number one is this. I will give thanks to you, Lord. I will give thanks to you, Lord. Let's talk about gratitude for a moment. See, gratitude is something that hopefully we're all taught growing up, right? You're supposed to be thankful for things. Your parents likely taught you, hey, when I give you something, you be thankful for it. If you're not thankful for it, I'll take it away from you. You know, be thankful for the things you have. Maybe you were taught gratitude somewhere else, right? Like maybe you just saw, like for example, there was this time when I was down in Tampa, we did a lot of homeless ministry. And what we would do is we would go prepare peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and we would go sit in downtown Tampa, and we would sit in a circle with a bunch of homeless people and eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches together. It was a great time. And one of the things that taught me was to be grateful for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, right? It taught me to be grateful for what I have. Maybe you saw people who were in need and thought, I should be grateful for what I have. There's something about our gratitude toward the Lord that's a little different. It's a little nuanced, and here's what I mean by this. Our thankfulness to the Lord comes based off of not only what he's done, but also who he is. Our thankfulness toward the Lord not only comes from what he's done. So what has he done? Well, he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us so that we wouldn't be guilty of our sins, but he took our sin on himself, and we have eternal life in him. That's one thing to be really thankful for. Another thing to be thankful for is that he even gave us breath to begin with, that he put breath into our lungs and gave us life. Maybe something to be grateful for is that we can see the color on the stained glass windows. And if you can't, that's okay. You can see other things, or smell things, or hear things. There's a lot of things to be grateful for. We're thankful for God giving us these abilities, but we're also thankful to God because of who He is. Here's what I mean by this. One of the most comforting and assuring qualities of God that there is, I'm convinced, is that He's unchanging. Say He's unchanging. Why is that so important? Well, do you ever have days where you just feel really unlovable? Do you ever have days where you just feel like you don't really deserve to be on this earth? Do you ever have days where you just feel like you don't really deserve to be cared about? Me too. And even on those days where I fail to recognize my value, God never does. Because God recognized my value when He created me, right? He created man. He said, it's very, very good. That never changed. His perspective of my value never changed. And so I am thankful to God for who He is because His qualities help me understand Him better. His unchangingness, his lack of shifting causes me to have confidence in who He is. And I could be thankful about that. Let's read verse 1 together. On that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, Lord, although you were angry with me. Your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. When I was growing up, I'm just going to be honest. You guys are going to be like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I didn't really get disciplined a whole lot growing up. Okay, I was kind of in the mix between that like new wave of like, we're not going to discipline our kids, and we're going to beat our kids with sticks. I was somewhere in between there. But my mom just didn't. Now, my excuse was always, I was just a really good kid. I mean, I didn't do anything wrong. Or at least not that I was caught for. And so, my mom hardly ever disciplined me. But you know how she would discipline me? She would take things away from me. Things I enjoyed doing. Right? So if I enjoyed going and hanging out with my friends after school, nope, you can't do that. And I would say, Mom, just take the car. Mom, take all my money. Let me go hang out with my friends. Nope. Because she knew what I cared about, right? She knew how to discipline me just right. And I think I'm a fairly stand-up guy now. And so she knew how to discipline just right. The Lord knew how to discipline His people just right. There's this sense, I've heard it said before, that like maybe God was too harsh on His people. I actually think, if anything, God's not harsh enough toward His people, that God's actually like astoundingly more merciful than I could ever be. And here's a good example of this. Just the other day, I'm sitting on the couch, and my dog pees on the couch while I'm sitting there. So in a fit of rage, I get up and stomp toward the dog. And I ended up texting my wife about it afterward. And I'm like, I feel bad. I scared the dog. I started stomping toward the dog. And I had my fist raised. And the dog was fine, right? I wasn't. I was the one who was disgruntled about it. But so I grabbed him by the scruff. And I put his nose in the little pee spot. And I'm going, no, no, no. You know, as angry and as barky as I can. And you know what he does next? He just lays there. Just lays there on the ground. And I said, are you going to pee again? And he's a dog. He didn't answer me. But later that night, he pooped in the dining room. So I don't know what to tell you. Discipline didn't work, but I felt bad about it. But God is so long-suffering toward us, right? So long-suffering that even when He disciplines us, there's consistency there. There's consistency in how He tends to us. The people of Israel have gone off their rocker. They have gone totally astray. And God is telling them, I am going to scatter you. I am going to destroy you. I am going to let these nations come in and wreck shop. But I'm here with you. I think one of the things that we often get mixed up in this is that this day that's being talked about in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1, is not a day that is to come. From our perspective, this day has already happened. This day where Jesus Christ has come and has comforted his people. There's a day coming for the people in Isaiah that they're looking forward to. A day of judgment, a day of great sorrow, but also a day of great hope. Because we have seen, right, through Isaiah 1 through 11 so far, that there's all this destruction, but out of the midst of that destruction, there's going to be life that springs up. And there's going to be hope that springs up, and his name is Jesus. And now, we're concluding this section. By the way, this is the last week we'll be in Isaiah for a little while. We're going to Colossians next week, so if you want to take a note and go ahead and study up on that. But as we conclude our time in Isaiah right here in chapter 12, I want you to see that there is a great sense of hopefulness here. I mean, you read Isaiah 1 through 9 and you're like, does anything positive ever happen? Is anything good ever going to happen? Is there ever going to be a day where the people aren't scattered and the people aren't endangered and the people aren't hurting? Yes, there is. There is a day. And on that day, the Lord's anger will turn away, and the people will praise God for it. Let's read verse 2. Indeed, God is my salvation. I will trust him and not be afraid, for the Lord himself, is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Here's point number 2 today. The Lord is my strength and song. The Lord is my strength and song. I was just talking in the hallway this morning with Clarice, and we were just talking. I was telling her Wednesday night, by the way, if you have children and you aren't bringing your kids to Team Kid on Wednesday night, you're missing out. And here's how they start the evening. They come here in the sanctuary, and they sing songs, and they sing scriptures. And I was just telling her, I was like, it's just genius to sing Bible verses. Because music is just one of the, I mean, it's a gift from God, first off. But it's just one of the amazing ways that we're able to learn. And we're able to retain things. In fact, the Hebrew people knew this, and most of Hebrew writing is in a poetic manner. It's written in a way that is memorable. There's a cadence to it. There's rhythm to it. And so to sing things, to sing scripture, is just an amazing way to remember scripture. If you've always had a hard time memorizing Bible verses, try singing them. Maybe come join us on Wednesday night and see what the kids are doing, and maybe you'll remember the song. I don't, but it's because I came in late, you know. So what do we mean when we say the Lord's our strength and our song? I think it's interesting to say that the Lord is our song. The Lord is our song. And honestly, I was trying to think through what exactly is the application here? What exactly is the understanding here that the Lord is our song? I think one way to understand this is when we say the Lord's our song, He is who we remember. Is who we remember. It's easy to remember all that he's done for us. It's easy to remember the great things he has done for us. But I think another thing about song, one of the things I love, I'm not good at it. I love singing. I love, love, love singing. You can ask Grace. I sing about anything and everything. Around the house, as I'm changing a diaper, I'm changing your diaper. I mean, just... I sing all day long. It could be anything, anything at all. It's because it expresses my passion. It's one of the ways I express myself. And for the Lord to be our song, he is our passion. He is who we hold on to. The craziest part about all this, I just want you to see the juxtaposition here, the comparison between two things right next to each other. There's great despair on the horizon. Here in Isaiah chapter 12, the despair hasn't happened yet. They have already been told there's great despair coming. There's great despair. There's great despair. In the midst of all of that, also, the Lord's your strength and song. And on that day, you will sing, I will praise the Lord. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to praise God when things are terrible, right? Except we don't praise God because of our situations. We praise God because of who He is. That is why we are able to praise Him on that day. That day is not going to be a day when everything comes together in a nice, pretty bow and everything just worked out the same. That day is going to be a day where, in spite of everything going on, God, we will trust in who You are. Let's look at verse 3. You will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. And on that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, proclaim His name, make His works known among the peoples, declare that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry out and sing, citizens of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is among you in His greatness. Here's point number 3 today. The Holy One of Israel is among you. The Holy One of Israel is among you. Earlier in our study of Isaiah, we talked about this place called Zion. Zion is this place that is God's city, it's God's residence, it's God's people as God intends them to be, not God's people as they are, right? But God's people as they are, think of Israel living defiantly and rebelliously. God's people as He intends them to be is Zion. It's this elevated place. It's this place on a hill. It's this place that when you look, you can see its light shining because it's lifted up and it's elevated and there's glorious light coming from it. It's the place where God's presence is. Can we put verse 6 back up there, please? Cry out and sing, citizens of Zion, for the Holy One of Israel is among you in His greatness. What's happening here? On that day when everything hits the fan and everything is not how you expect it to be, and you aren't dwelling in the land of milk and honey anymore, but you're dwelling in a land of thorns and bristles, on that day, trust in the Lord and sing out to Him. The Lord's our song. We are singing the Lord's name. But there's a specific group that's singing that name. It's the citizens of Zion. Who are the citizens of Zion? All who believe in Jesus Christ. There's no other way to say otherwise. There's no other way to think otherwise. Citizens of Zion is referring to those who trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And those citizens one day will dwell among God in His presence fully. And again, we've talked about this before. We don't understand what it's like to be fully in the presence of God. We get a glimpse of it and how amazing that glimpse is, but it's still not the full picture. And in the midst of this presence in Zion, we are crying out to the Lord. You know, this word cry, I've said this before too. This word cry can be translated a lot of different ways. There's a couple key ways it's translated though, right? It could mean to read, which in this context, that's probably not what it's talking about. It could mean to worship, right? To cry out. And it could mean to call out. So in this picture that we are crying out, we are calling out, we are worshiping out and singing, why are we singing? Here's the picture, right? Everything's happened. Let's paint this story, okay? Isaiah 1, Israel, Judah, you have been wicked and depraved. You're worshiping false gods. You are living in a way that defiles the image of God. You are going to be destroyed. I'm going to send other nations to attack you. Assyria is going to attack you. Don't rely on other nations. But out of the destruction that's going to come to you, out of this stump of Jesse, a shoot will rise up. A branch of hope will rise up. And he will be called Wonderful, Everlasting. And on that day, you will cry out, citizens of Zion, because the Holy One of Israel is among you. And he's not just among you. He's not just in your presence. He's in your presence in his greatness. The best way to understand this, to be in your greatness, is to be in your fullness. There's going to come a day for all of us. For all of us. And let's be very honest with ourselves. There are days in this life that just knock us down and drag us out. There are days in this life where we just don't know if we can make it another day. There are moments in our lives where we're just going, God, just take us now. God, just take me now. But there's coming a day, a glorious, glorious day where the citizens of Zion, you and me, us who believe in Jesus Christ, are going to dwell with God in his presence, in his fullness. And that is going to be a glorious day. And it's not going to matter what the circumstances are. It's not going to matter what's happening around us. Here's what I want to conclude with today. A lot of times when we think about peace, we think about maybe standing firm on something. Maybe you think about the story about the people who built their houses, and one built their house on the sand and it blew away. Or maybe you think about the three little pigs and how they built their houses. I don't know. One of the amazing things about peace is it actually has nothing to do with what's going on around you. Nothing. Here's the image of peace that I actually think is much more clear for us. The image of peace that's much more clear for us is, imagine you are a bird and you've wandered off the shore and you've wandered into the Gulf of Mexico or the Atlantic, and all of a sudden it starts storming. So you're scrambling and you're trying to find a place to land. Have you ever been there? Me too. You're scrambling, and you're going through, and you're avoiding lightning, and you're avoiding the wind, and you're doing everything you can, and you're being course-corrected someplace you didn't intend to be, and you're going and going and going, and you finally find a place to land, and you land there, but the storm's still happening. You have a place to set your feet, but everything's still being chaotic around you. I think this is a lot like what our faith in Christ is like. There is a firm foundation for us to have our feet planted on. We're not going anywhere. We're not going to be shifted anywhere. We're not going to be knocked off. But we are going to get beaten up. We are going to get rained on. We are going to get drenched in this mess. And in the midst of that, we are firmly planted where we are. For citizens of Zion, and again, I'll just say this another way, for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our peace is not determined by our circumstances. Our peace is not determined by what happens around us. Our peace is determined by who we trust in. So here's my question for you today as we close. Have you been trusting in what's going on around you? Or have you been trusting in Jesus? Have you been trusting in your circumstances? Or have you been trusting in the only one who's worthy of our trust, Jesus Christ? In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And during this time, if you would like to put your faith in Christ, come talk to me, come talk to Pastor John. We'll both be up here. If you would like to join our church and become part of a church family, we would love to have you. Come talk to us. We'd love to get you connected. If you just want someone to pray for you, come pray with us. But during this time, you're going to have an opportunity to respond. So you have just heard the message. You've heard what God is hopefully prompting you to do. And I just hope that for a moment, you'll reflect and you'll think, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your love for us, the way that you care for us, the way that you provide firm foundation, even when the storms of life are so chaotic. God, it's terrifying. It's terrifying not knowing what's going to come next. It's terrifying not being in control. It's terrifying not knowing what you're going to do next. But God, we need you. Lord, would you please humble our hearts before you? Would you help us be... Lord, I don't want to be an indifferent citizen of Zion. I want to be a citizen of Zion that's standing before you and singing the song that you want to hear sung all the time. Lord, I want to sing to you like I sing about my son's diaper being changed. I want to sing to you with the same passion and fervor that I live my life with. God, if that means you have to create that in me, I pray that you would create that in me. Lord, I pray for the people here today. However you're moving, however you're speaking to their hearts, would you give them boldness to respond? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with me as we sing Glorify Thy Name.
Church family, I have some exciting news to present to you today. Chase and Victoria Purvis want to officially move their membership to our church. Some of you are saying about time. I'm just thankful. It's only been 6 or 7 months for me. But church, if we agree with accepting Chase and Victoria into our church as new members, would you please just give a round of applause? Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Chase, Victoria, we're so thankful to have you as part of our church family officially. So y'all make sure after service to come greet them, say hello to them, and make them feel welcome. Just want to say, so glad to have you here this morning. If you still want to give to our in-gathering offering, you still can. Toward the end of the service, we have the buckets up here still. Please make sure to do so. I also encourage you to come back tonight for our Sunday evening service at 6 p.m. If you have any questions about anything going on here at the church, you can call the church office. We'd be glad to help you. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. I'm going to ask John to pray for us as we close out, and then we'll be dismissed.
Kindness towards us. God, we just ask that you would bless us, God, so that we would walk in a way that's pleasing to you. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.